I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Time now for a look at the world of sports, and what a week it has been. An NBA team gets humiliated, an MLB manager gets canned, an NFL player gets robbed, and a wounded tiger goes into hibernation. Okay, I know tigers don't hibernate, but you get the idea. Here to help me parse it all out is today's Sports Bloggers Roundtable, Greg Lee, senior online sports editor for the Boston Globe, and Chad Brown. He writes for alphablogsports.blogspot.com. So, gentlemen, let's start with the NBA Finals. LA basketball fans are still in a funk over that old-fashioned butt-whipping they got Tuesday night. A moment of silence, please. But in Beantown, it's been a day for parades, the first one for the Celtics in more than a generation. And Greg Lee, I know you are there in Boston. In fact, I think I saw you in the parade on TV, brother. What does this championship win mean to that city?
Well, I just saw schools of green all in the streets of Boston. They were everywhere. You know, it's the first time, you know, 22 years, like you said, winning a title. It's a new generation of, you know, of Celtics fans, a lot of young people out there. You know, this is, you know, as people say, this is not your grandfather Celtics. Is a, you know, different type of generation team. You know, of course, you're led by, is it, you know, everyone when you think of the Celtics, you think of back in the 60s with Bill Russell and John Havlicek, and then in the 80s with Larry Bird and stuff. But now it's, you know, KG, Pierce, you know, Ray Allen, and Doc Rivers as the coach. And it's just different. This generation just really are just happy to see this team win a championship and celebrating in style today.
Well, Chad, the Celtics style of play seems something akin to hard-nosed, in-your-face street ball. Were they just too much for the Lakers to handle, too physical? Were the European players on the Lakers squad just not ready for that? What was it?
I think it was a mix. I mean, I think that the Lakers were overrated to an extent, but I think the Celtics were underrated. You have to understand, the Celtics went through numerous battles, whereas the Lakers breezed through what was supposed to be one of the toughest Western conferences ever. And that's not taken away from either side. But I think the Celtics, I hate to say, I think the Celtics just wanted it more. And that's stunning to say about a team with Kobe, guys like Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, and headed up by Phil Jackson. But I think the Celtics just wanted it more.
They certainly played like they wanted it more, didn't they?
No question. They were diving after every loose ball, everything. Even if one guy had an off night, you had two others who were stepping up. Meanwhile, it seemed like the Lakers were waiting around for Kobe. And I don't know what happened to Gasol or Lamar. They only showed up sporadically. Even when the Lakers won, you kind of felt like, well, I still think the Celtics are the better team. And as somebody from New York, that's very tough to say.
And for somebody from L.A., it's really tough to hear. But, you know, what's right is right. Let me bring another question to you, Greg, about this before we go into another topic, because it's hard to talk about Boston being the world champions. Going into this series, many sports writers, as we just said, had the Lakers winning in five or six, much for that. But you know what? There was once a racial element to the rivalry between the Celtics and Lakers, to be honest about it. But this series turned that racial dynamic on its head, didn't it?
Yeah, it's so funny. I have, like, people. I'm from New Orleans. I have a lot of people who hate the Celtics from the 80s. There's one guy in particular, my neighbor, couldn't stand the Celtics. Now he finds himself supporting the Celtics. Like I said before, the whole generation is different. Before, they thought of the Celtics as just being a white team. But now it's led by a black coach, predominantly black team. So I think, you know, a lot of people who had these biases of the Celtics from racial before, I've noticed a lot of people have, you know, changed. I didn't really care for Celtics growing up neither, but I can't help but, you know, support a team that plays actually great defense. And that's why the Lakers couldn't respond. They don't like getting hit in the mouth. The Celtics will hit you in the mouth, and they went to those battles. And, you know, respect people like Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and they're going through the battles this year. And I think, you know, the type of players they had on the team gravitated those who were Celtics haters in the 80s, and now they're Celtics supporters.
Absolutely. All right. Next year. Okay. Let's talk about baseball, Chad. You are there in New York City, and you know how baseball crazy that town can be. Willie Randolph became New York's first African-American baseball manager when he took the Mets job in 2004. This week, he was fired very unceremoniously in the wee hours of the morning while he was actually out here in California on a road trip to play the Angels. Now, there's been a lot of fallout from that firing, suggesting that the Mets and general manager Omar Minaya handled the whole thing very poorly. In fact, that's what Randolph himself said, not how he would have handled it. What's going on there now?
Well, as far as I can, let me just say this. There is no way to spin this thing positively. It was a horrible firing. I mean, 315, I'm thinking Mania has been watching too many Hillary Clinton commercials or something like that. But there's no good way to spin this. If you're going to fire him and you're giving the whole Father's Day thing as excuse, then do it before then. If it's not, and do it before the road trip. I mean, did he have to pay his own airfare back? I mean, fortunately, Willie has handled this thing with complete class, but it shows why the Mets are a second-class organization. But this is not the first time that a New York team has mishandled firing or fired somebody before then. You think about looking at football. I mean, the Giants would have been smart a few years ago to can Fossil after that collapse in San Francisco instead of giving him another 4-12 year. And as for the Jets, don't get me started on the missed field goals in Pittsburgh. Otherwise, we would have been spared the 4-12. Herm Edwards, we can only score 3 points. This all is right. all we got.
Stay with me now, Chad. Stay with me. All right. Let me.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. One more thing about the Mets, and that's to you, Greg. And it may not have been the best way to fire him at 3 o'clock in New York time, 12 o'clock here. And we should say that it was after their game against the Angels, so it wasn't like he was awakened in the middle of the night and said, "You're fired." But the real question is, did he deserve to be fired, no matter what time of day it was?
Well, I think the problem was that the entire team felt the pressure for Willie. They pressed too much to try to keep his job, and that's a distraction. So, did he deserve to lose his job? Maybe, but at the same time, it is a distraction. It's still a cloud that was hovering over the team's head, and I think they were pressing. So, just rather just keep really there. It's just time to just cut the relationship now and let the players not be stressed out about it, and not just and hopefully they get out of their funk and not press anymore because they have an interim manager and they're not going to be pressured to perform. So I think that Willie did a good job, but at the same time, it still was a cloud over the head for the players, and it was a big distraction. They really like Willie, but they tried too hard.
All right.
And it hurt.
I don't even play golf, but I was glued to the television this past week when we saw one of the most remarkable performances by one of the most remarkable guys in sports, Tiger Woods, of course, on one leg, winning the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in a dramatic sudden-death playoff.
Yeah.
14th major, third U.S. Open victory, but he's hurt. And now he says he's going to back off the tour for the rest of the year so he can have more work done on that bum knee of his. Did you see it, Chad?
I saw bits and pieces. It was unbelievable what I saw. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Now, what do you think about him taking off and what the impact will have on the rest of the tour?
Well, it's his long-term health, so he pretty much has to take off. I don't know what – I think people will still watch, but it won't be the same. At the same time, no Tiger means that you've got an open field. You really don't know what's going to happen. And in any sport, there's got to have some level of excitement. But without Tiger, it'll be a letdown. But people will still watch, just not in droves.
I don't know. Do you think people will watch, Greg, unless you're already a golf fan?
You're a golf fan, and the biggest impact is going to be on the Ryder Cup. That's this year, and Tiger's not on the Ryder Cup. Will people be glued to the TV to watch the United States go against the Europeans in the every other year tournament later this year? That's going to be a tough thing. I probably won't watch it because Tiger's not there. I mean, I was glued to the TV on the airplane, coming back from Los Angeles to Boston, and I was dead tired, but I watched the 16 holes I can watch on TV on the airplane. And but without Tiger, I don't know if I would have been glued to the set. I probably would have been asleep. So I think that I'm not the biggest golf fan, but those who are like me, which is most of America, when they watch golf and they want to see Tiger.
That's true.
It's going to hurt.
You know, it's interesting. The Tiger thought that he was going to be able to win 4 majors in a row in a calendar year for the first time. And we know what happened at Augusta, which shot the whole thing. That made this comeback win at Torrey Pines just even more incredible, didn't it?
It was it's his golf course. It's basically one of it. He's dominated at Torrey Pines, and he saw this opportunity as the United States Open. This is probably one of the most important tournaments to him because it's in his home state. It's also the United States National Championship, and he wanted to prove something, and he wanted to get out there and prove that he can still do this. And the United States Open is not always going to be played at Torrey Pines, so he thought this would be the opportunity to add another major to his collection.
The guy who went away and nobody remembers, Phil Mickelson. He was supposed to win. That's his home city, as a matter of fact, San Diego as well.
Exactly.
Too bad for him, but too bad for golf fans who wanted to see Tiger. All right, we have one more subject for a sports bloggers roundtable today. And, you know, it's strange. We never talk about NFL players getting in trouble, but here's another one.
No.
Javon Walker. On Monday, the Oakland Raiders wide receiver found unconscious on a Las Vegas street. He had been beaten badly, robbed following a night of clubbing and partying. But what may have precipitated this whole incident, Chad, are reports that Walker was flossing and spraying expensive champagne at patrons at a nightclub. Now, one more thing before you respond. This comes after another late-night problem involving him. In 2007, he was sitting in a limousine when shots were fired into the vehicle. His then Denver Broncos teammate, Darrent Williams, was killed and died in his arms. So what's he doing hanging out at the club still?
Well, I don't think you're ever going to get these guys away from the club. I mean, we've had, and I will stay on topic here, I promise. We've had other instances in Vegas of NFL players getting in trouble. So you can only, as Lane Kiffin said, you can only educate them so much. You can't babysit them. So guys are still going to go to Vegas. It's a shame of what happened with Javon, who the incident you mentioned, since the Darrent Williams case, he really has not seemed to be the same person.
You know, cash and celebrity seem to be a deadly mixture for a growing number of athletes, Greg. Doesn't the league warn these guys about the streets?
They warn that they have these symposiums before the season, you know, with the rookies, with the veterans, and also they still do it. I mean, Javon was, you know, flossing big diamond earring studs. He was really flossing. He had a big diamond-encrusted watch on him, and it was flashing. And people, you know, if you're going to show that off, you're a target for people. And then what made matters worse, he was spraying, you know, champagne on people, you know, kind of like Pac-Man Jones making it rain with a dollar bill.
15 bottles.
Bottles of Dom Perignon.
Yeah, he signed a big contract with the Raiders. The Raiders gave him a lot of money, a big signing bonus. So, hey, he was celebrating in Las Vegas before, I guess, training camp starts in a couple of weeks.
If he'll be ready for training
camp.
He won't be ready. And, you know, Al Davis and Coach Lane Kiffin are definitely not happy about the investment they put in him, which when he signed in the first place, I shook my head at what they gave him.
You know, we've got to run out of here in less than a minute, but don't these guys have bodyguards? If you're going to bling all over the place, don't you have some backup with you normally?
Well, they should, but I'm guessing when they go out, you know, they kind of tend to leave the common sense at home. You know?
Yes, exactly, especially when they go out in Las Vegas like that.
Well, anyone goes out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they keep their bodyguards away for the most part when they go to Las Vegas, unless you're like Michael Jordan. He'll have bodyguards all around because he's Michael Jordan, but he's not going to go out like what Javon Walker did. So that's why Javon Walker doesn't have his bodyguards around, because he's just going to do whatever.
Well, I might want to rethink that.
I hope he recovers from this. You know, we don't want anyone to be injured, but at the same time, it's like, man, you got to figure out what you're doing. Guys, it's always good to have you on. Greg Lee, senior online sports editor for the Boston Globe, joined us by phone from somewhere in Boston after that crazy parade. And Chad Brown, he writes for alphablogsports.blogspot.com. He joined us from our New York bureau. Gentlemen, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be on here.